Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
When I turn on the Morning Rush, I want to hear Ty at his best every single day.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorback.
Ty, fortunately, has saved the world and not yet procreated.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
So whenever we go on vacation or go on a trip with my father, he always, always loves to order an appetizer. It's funny, when we're out to eat at home, he kind of sticks to his, not diet necessarily, but he kind of sticks to his lesser meal. Like, he's not ordering the full order of stuff. It's just like, I'm just going to get this small portion, or I'm just going to get this entree or whatever. Whenever we go out to eat or on vacation, it's always big time meals. And while the appetizer is all well and good, whether it's mozzarella sticks, cheese fries, soup, salad, whatever the case may be, it's not the full course. It's not that juicy burger. It's not that rack of ribs. It's not that incredible pasta bowl. It's not that just juicy, incredible, mouth-watering steak. It's just not. And to this point in college football, you've had appetizers to this point. But we are one day out, folks. One day out from SEC football and the full course, and you finally get to see your Arkansas Razorbacks, your prime rib, what you've been waiting on for months, come to fruition in Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium tomorrow afternoon. This is the Morning Rush. He's Tommy Kraft. I'm Ty Richardson. 877-377-6963, the number to call or text in. We are always streaming live on hitthatline.com. You can find our video stream, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. If you got a smart speaker, just say play ESPN Arkansas. Make sure you're following our social media accounts at HitThatLineAR on Twitter, at HitThatLine Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And we are going to have on Clay Henry, as always, join us at 7 o'clock this morning. And then Dave Neal, formerly of Raycom Sports, Jefferson Pilot Sports, and now with the SEC Network, will be joining us at 8 o'clock this morning. He will be on call for the SEC Network tomorrow afternoon with Arkansas and Georgia. Really excited to speak to Dave, who's done this SEC theme for quite some time. We finally get the entree, Tommy, and it is a Football Friday. Thank God. Man. Thank you, God. Yeah. Finally, it's here.
Yeah, and we didn't think we'd be at this moment. We didn't know whether the SEC had it right or the Big Ten had it right. I think the SEC had it right. And, you didn't know how the world was going to play out over the last 90 to 180 days and if sports was going to be a possibility. But they found a way. How long you get to play, who knows still. But at least we got a game in front of us tomorrow. How many players are going to take the field? We're going to get into that conversation throughout the course of the show. This season's going to be unlike any other we've ever witnessed, watched, or been a part of this year beginning tomorrow.
It's going to be an odd duck. And with the game coming tomorrow, when you take on a top five team in the Georgia Bulldogs where you're not favored by 28, you're an underdog by 28. What should be the expectation of this football team? It's 877-377-6963. When Arkansas steps on the field with the Georgia Bulldogs, what are you expecting? What should be expected? And what should happen? Now, I got to do myself a little, I don't know if backtracking is the right word, but I think when it's come to this conversation, everything leading up to this point, I've been negative about this season in terms of the win-loss record. I've been on the record saying 1-9. I'm going to stick to that as we continue out the conversation today. But one of the things my grandpa taught me growing up repeatedly over and over again is no matter who the Razorbacks played, no matter what you were up against as an Arkansan, you always had a chance. And I think that when it comes to this football game, I've been a negative Nancy for time and time again this season and stuff because I've been burned the last couple of years. You've been burned the last couple of years. Arkansas fans have been burned the last couple of years. So I am still in that mold in a sense that it's going to happen again. We're going to get burned again. Arkansas is going to have another season or whatever. Maybe it'll be better, but I can't believe just yet. Well, I'm hoping as of tomorrow afternoon, there will be a little play, a little glimpse of belief that can change my mind, and that can change so many other people's minds around about this Arkansas football program.
Yeah, you know, the last couple of years have been below expectations, but I don't think anyone had high expectations the last 2 years. You say you've been burned. And what did you expect the last 2 years? It certainly wasn't winning the West. It certainly wasn't eight or nine wins.
I said five. I think I said 5-7 year one, or Chad Morris, I said 4-8 year two.
So, I mean, it wasn't, you know, it certainly wasn't those expectations. You didn't get those number wins, but it wasn't like Arkansas should have been an 8-win team and ended up a 2-win team. The question is, and you and I and Phil were having a text conversation yesterday. He asked a good question, and I think he's probably going to bring up on halftime today, so we'll leave a lot of that for him. But
steal it,
well, it's a good question. Which team is better? And we'll start getting answers tomorrow. The 2019 team or the 2020 team? Who would win a game between the two? That's really the question you need to answer. You know you're talking about, well, what's to expect and answers, and we got to have a conclusion today. That's the mood everybody's in these days in 2020. We can't wait for things to unfold. We got to know the answer now. Well, really the question we need to answer is this football team better than last year's football team? That's ultimately the only question any of us need to be asking. Is this year's football team in 2020 better than 2019's football team? And it's going to be hard to tell when you're playing number four team in the country in Georgia, game one. You're not playing Portland State. You're not going to roll out against Texas.
Which also wouldn't be a good barometer. You need someone in the middle.
Exactly. So I don't know that we'll be able to tell right away. That's why I said I want to kind of wait and really do some valid assessments, clearly after about four games and into a 10-game schedule. But that's really the only question any of us need to be asking as we move through the year. Is 2020's football team better than 2019's football team? That's the bottom line. It may not. I mean, the bottom line is not necessarily going to be, did they win three games versus two? Because they didn't win any of the type of games they're playing this year. I keep making that point. I want to make it again. They were 0-for based on SEC games the last 2 years. So if they win one, they're ahead of last year, in my opinion, as far as record goes. So
no arguments here.
Is this year's team better than last year's team? That's the only thing we should be evaluating.
And you hope the offense is better, the defense is better, the special teams are better. You got coaching staff that seems to be better. You're still kind of waiting and seeing, obviously, with the schedule. It doesn't, like Tommy mentioned, the barometer of this football team is not going to be tomorrow against Georgia.
Nope.
It's just not. It's a top five team in the country. It's your first game of the season. You can't make a justification based on what transpires with the Bulldogs and Razorbacks tomorrow. What you can do is maybe potentially Mississippi State, maybe on the road against Auburn, and definitely at home against Ole Miss. Then you will be able to understand and have a better grasp, is this team better than 2019?
That's you may lose tomorrow and still be better than last year. We have to understand
that. Yeah.
You know.
You
may lose the next two or three games and be better than last year.
And I think the line, y'all, is at 28 right now. It's moved about 4.5 to 3. I think it started at 24.5, 25, depending on what Vegas service you looked at. It's about 28 right now. So if you can keep it within that 28, if Arkansas can cover tomorrow, I think that's a good sign. I know that's a losing mentality, but again, it's a top five team in the country. I've seen a first-time Division I head coach who, yes, is playing his former team, has a pretty good understanding of some of those players on the roster, but it's still the talent disparity right now is pretty evident. So,
yeah. And keep in mind, a betting line is not always a prediction of an outcome. You know,
and those Vegas boys, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, but what they're trying to do is always get half the money on both sides of the line. You know, they want to make 100% of the losers and 10% of the winners. So that's their business model.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
Oh, he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
7:17 on a Friday morning. The guy that's been excited for Arkansas football, it is Mr. Eddie in Clarksville, home of the Panthers. Eddie, you're on the Morning Rush, man. The floor is yours.
Good morning, gentlemen. And I'll make it quick. As I woke this morning, and in the distance, I could hear the bell rumble. And for this football program and members of this team, tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock, that bell is going to be ringing. And the question is, are you going to answer the bell and come to play? Because if you do, unlike most, I believe you're going to compete in this game. And number two, I look at my recipe cabinet. And I got up to brew up what I call some, to get the ingredients, what I call for some hog jubilee and some hog delight. And ingredient number one, I put in that bowl. Number one, offensive line, listen up. Make your block. Sustain your ground. We cannot have, again, repeated missed blocks and compete in this game. You've got a quarterback that cannot be on his rear end all game long. Make that block. Are you talking about defense for Georgia? Well, we got some dudes, too, on that defensive line. And I want to start with Mr. Xavier Kelly. Sir, you come hungry. Number two, I want to address Mr. Mateo Sully. You come to play, sir. I want to address Dorian Jarrell. Sir, you come thirsty and get to that quarterback. I want a newcomer, Mr. Coach. You come to play. You come thirsty as well. And you put that quarterback on the rear end. For these linebackers, ingredient number three, you plug those running lanes. And when they come across that line of scrimmage, you pop them. And it's secondary. All game long, you cannot give up. Wake up out there. Make the play. Make the coverage. And don't stay away from the big play. For these receivers, like Mr. Trey Knox. I want to address Mr. Woods. Traylon Burks, make the catch in the clutch. You've got the quarterback that's going to get you the ball. And that is the recipe. And here's another ingredient. When you get in the red zone, stay away from the turnover. We got to come away with points in the red zone. On third down conversion, we cannot go 0-for-10. I don't know how many times you touch the ball and not convert third downs. Gentlemen, that's the recipe to compete in this game. I just gave it to you. For the fan base, you got thirsty. And just maybe on that measured stick come Saturday afternoon after the game, we make some movement on that stick and maybe even come away with a win. So fan base, come ready. Have your balls out. Thank you for taking my call.
That's going to do it for Mr. Eddie in Clarksville. Eddie, appreciate it. Clay, are you as hyped and excited as Mr. Eddie in Clarksville?
I'm going to temper that just a hair.
Just a hair.
I'm going to wait till about 2:58 to hit that peak. I don't want to peak too early.
that's the key thing there.
So, I mean, you
only got so much.
You can't sustain that.
There's only so much gas in the tank. You can't run out of gas before game time.
Yeah, you're peaking.
Yeah, Eddie Sutton says you want to hit that magic level. You know, you want to hit it at game time. You don't want to hit it, you know, 30 hours out. I mean, it's just hard. Now, Eddie, he'll be at a different level come 3 o'clock. I mean, his level, you know, I've actually been around Eddie just before a game. It's a sight to behold. I mean, it is. Bo Mattingly and I met with Eddie, I think it was at an Arkansas-Texas A&M game at AT&T Stadium, went down and found him in the stands and talked to him. And when we walked up and we started visiting, the people around were like, oh, my gosh, that is Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
There was some whispering going on that might be Eddie from Clarksville. And then when we walked up, you know, that was kind of affirmation that this is – the real deal. And we found him with binoculars, and it's something to watch.
Yeah, you know, I mean that in the best way possible. Can you imagine the opportunity to watch a game, more likely on TV would be the way to do this, with Eddie in a home environment or somewhere where, you know, it could be unfiltered. You weren't worried about disturbing those around you in the row front or behind
peace.
Can you imagine Eddie unfiltered?
You better have your mouthpiece in, and you better have your chin strap snapped.
Then you'll have.
That might be something we should do, is get Eddie and arrange this.
No, I don't think I have it in me. I don't
think. I think we should bring him to the Norfolk River and bring him to your house, and we could have a watch party at your house.
Well, we'll make sure we have a room with rubber walls.
Oh man, I remember my brother was ecstatic when he got to meet Eddie in Oxford, Mississippi. Was that this past season? Yeah, this past season. So the elation on my brother's face when he took a selfie with Eddie in Clarksville was undeniable. So I'll put that out on social media so y'all can see that. But
Brandon in Paris is calling Eddie in Clarksville a strong cup of coffee. That's a good analogy there, Brandon.
Clay, didn't y'all have
that's him? Not that's the that's we you don't
that's
the label
espresso.
On that. Yeah, it's not it doesn't it's not medium roast.
No.
It's not medium roast. That's what I'm drinking right now. It's medium roast. Oh boy. So. Yeah, and gotta love him. I mean if we hadn't have him on today, it wouldn't be right. So I'm glad he called.
No, for those watching our video stream, I'm holding up the picture of Clay and Eddie in Jerry World in Dallas Cowboys Stadium. Clay, that's a great picture of you, by the way. I want to give you credit for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've gone downhill since then, right? That's what happens watching this defense for the last few years.
Degenerative.
Now, y'all, yeah. Clay, if I remember correctly, y'all had him on the program when Bo was doing the show, right? Like he came in.
Came up. It was we were doing a remote at a hamburger place in town, and he drove up just to be with us. And it was a packed house, and I believe Quinn Grovey was there, and he got to meet Quinn Grovey, and I was just like, oh my gosh! And he's like, Eddie looked over at me. He says, "This is royalty." Royalty. I said, yeah, I appreciate you thinking about that. He says, no, I'm talking about Quinn, not you. I was joking, too. I knew he was talking about Quinn. Oh, but he's like, no, I'm talking about Quinn.
Taking some great calls this morning, like Mr. Eddie in Clarksville. It's 877-377-6963 if you want to chime in. Going to the home of the Purple Dogs, Ben is in Fayetteville. Ben, you're on the Morning Rush, man.
Hey, guys. Hey, I got an idea. If Eddie doesn't have a cardboard cutout, I'll happily buy one for him. I think his cardboard cutout will be louder than the rest of them in the stadium. And yeah. I think we could probably do some kind of fundraising. I know Eddie had a loss in his family last year, the year before. And I would think some cardboard cutouts of Eddie, they should be pretty damn intimidating.
Have the whole first row as Eddie.
Yes.
If you had a front row of Eddie.
The whole front row.
I don't even think the coronavirus wants to tangle with Eddie.
No.
I mean.
That's a good point,
Ben.
Give
me a break.
Yeah.
I would happily buy one. I'll pay for Eddie's cutout at the stadium.
Ben.
You give me the info.
Ben, who would the coronavirus be more afraid of? Eddie in Clarksville or Miss Lisa in Northeast Arkansas?
Eddie.
I think Eddie being from Clarksville will fight dirtier.
I don't know. Miss Lisa, I think, could
get
you in the bottom of the pile and twist your face mask and maybe a few other things.
I think we need to ask Chuck about that as a former Clarksville resident.
You give me some info on how I can get an Eddie cutout, I'll pay for it for the stadium. It's worth it. It's worth every penny of it.
By the way, I got several texts, and Ben, appreciate the call this morning. Got several texts from friends last night, them sending me their cutouts in the stadium. I know Jenkins paid for one. Did you pay for one?
I have not.
Okay. So my friend Jeff Taylor.
I won.
Over at, I understand. Jeff Taylor, and I mean, you know me, I'm frugal as it gets, so I, of course, didn't pay for one, but friend Jeff put one in. He's got his Cardinals gear on. I know I've gotten others of people screaming and yelling of theirs in the stadium. It's really cool to see that happen, that they finally came through. And again, they were listening to Morning Rush because we advocated for that for weeks.
I thought Ruskin had a great question earlier this week. How many of the cardboard cutouts leave at halftime? So do they remove any of them at halftime in traditional Razorback spirit?
Hopefully none. So
we did a show where you said who would be your cutout, and I said my father, and one of my daughters is on her way to school, and I immediately got a text that says, no, we'll put you, Dad, holding a brown trout. We want a cutout of you in the stadium, you holding up a brown trout. So that's the only picture it can be. So I don't know about having a picture of a brown trout in the stadium.
Yeah, we'd have to Photoshop it so everybody could see the fish. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we can do that. That's been done before, right?
Oh, man. All right, back to the phone lines, 877-377-6963. Talking about this Arkansas football game, taking on the Georgia Bulldogs tomorrow. We'll go to the phone lines and welcome in Robert in Harrison. Big game for the Goblins tonight, taking on the Ozark Hillbillies. Robert, you're on the Morning Rush, man.
That's right, and my son has a Harrison Bulldogs game tomorrow, fourth grade.
Let's go.
All right.
It was good to hear from Eddie, and reality really set in Friday before game day. And you think about you guys, you go all the way back to when everything shut down, College World Series shut down. Tomorrow, the Razorbacks play football. From when everything shut down till right now, you guys have done a great job. Provided excellent entertainment to Northwest Arkansas on the radio. Didn't miss a day. I looked forward to the Morning Rush every day. And that says a lot. When there's nothing going on and everybody can tune into you guys and enjoy the show, I just want to congratulate y'all because love the show. Everybody in Northwest Arkansas loves the show. Keep it up.
Robert, thanks for that call. Calls like that are what keep us getting up early and doing what we do. And
No, that's not what does it. It's that paycheck. Thank you, Tommy.
Well, it's going to make me emotional on a Friday.
I'm telling you, as Robert was talking about that, it made me think about kind of the emotional side of this and not what we do, but just the emotional side for all of us as sports fans. And I think it will be a little bit emotional tomorrow to see Arkansas play, and just because it's a symbol of somewhat normalcy. I mean, that's as Robert was describing things there and just what we've been through together collectively, all of us in this Morning Rush community and as sports fans in our lives and our kids going to school. I mean, just all the things we deal with on a daily basis at work, at school, at home, in life, just having the symbolism of college football and being able to watch and enjoy and go however you will consume the game tomorrow is a sense of normalcy for us that I think will be somewhat emotional on some level for all of us tomorrow.
Yeah, it will be for me for sure. And I'd like to speak on what we have done for the last 6 months. And I think it's been very therapeutic for me. And we've had a lot of memory lane kind of, at least stories that I've written, things that we've done on the air. Ty, you've tracked down a lot of the greats in Razorback history, whether it be, you know, any sport you can name. You know, we've done basketball because of the Eddie Sutton going into the Hall of Fame, you know, things like that. And what it did for me is remind myself that Razorbacks can be great because they have been. And we've reveled in some of that and gotten away from some of the disgust that we saw over the last 3 or 4 years in football. And the piece that I wrote for Hogs Illustrated, Whole Hog Sports, that's online right now, this is a snapshot of what we're trying to get away from. And it's the defense of the last 5 seasons. I'm going to just run through. The heart of playing defense is, can you stop the other guy from just handing off and running for a touchdown? Just handing off.
Mm-hmm.
The simplest play in football. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything fancy. They turn and hand it to the running back, and he runs it in for a touchdown. 2015, Arkansas gave up 25 rushing touchdowns. That's bad.
Yeah.
2016, they gave up 39 rushing touchdowns. That's the all-time record in Arkansas football history for bad. 2017, a little better. 28, 2018, 25. Now, the flip side to that is they gave up a lot of passing touchdowns that year. 2019, last year, gave up 29 rushing touchdowns. It's like, well what's good? Well, what's good is what's coming to town. Georgia gave up 2 rushing touchdowns last year, led the nation, set a school record. It's the lowest total by an SEC team since 1970, and that was LSU.
Yeah. You talk about where the defense has been. I know for years when Derek and I were doing the show together. We used to joke when the defense had a breakdown and someone would run it literally through the A-gap on our defense for a touchdown, you know, and a lengthy one,
untouched.
You know, they ran a trick play, you know, right through the A-gap, you know, and those are the things that just frustrate you, but also tell you where you're at when they run it
between
the guard and the center and just make you look silly.
To the heart of your defense.
I mean, that's as simple as it gets. That was not a play called and designed to score. I know every play is designed to score, but that is not a play that the OC dialed up that, hey, let's score on this one. That's a play that, hey, let's get a few yards to set up something to score.
Or they play Auburn and you know, okay, either the first play or the second play is going to be a jet sweep.
It's going to be a touchdown.
Yeah, it's a jet sweep. They're going to flip it to the guy coming around and you better be ready because it's coming.
Yeah. A-gap is not a trick play.
And the jet sweep is not a trick play either.
No, these are plays that you will see across the state tonight. Run early, you know. Mm-hmm. These are plays at any level you will see. You will see these plays tomorrow. Robert talked about his son playing tomorrow in Harrison, fourth grade football. You'll see those plays tomorrow too. These are plays that tells you where you're at in rebuilding. We were debating defense in the first hour and where you're at. In what Barry Odom's challenge is this year. Clay, you laid it out well there. I don't think we all have the full appreciation. What'd you say? Georgia gave up two rushing touchdowns a year ago?
Two. For the whole season.
Say that again for those in the back that didn't hear it the first time.
Yeah, it's the fewest allowed in the SEC since 1970. That's 50 years.
Wow.
50 years. Two touchdowns
two
is all they gave up.
Two rushing touchdowns last year.
So if you rush for – if Rakeem Boyd runs for a touchdown tomorrow – it will be
half
what they gave up last year.
Yeah.
One.
So I'm not feeling as good about
one
my
is
10
half
prediction.
Of two.
And
yeah, no, I know that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. It's a good team.
But this is
the time to get them. They may be in disarray a little bit.
You think that's kept Kendall Briles a little uneasy in his rack at night, just thinking about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it also is Ricky Stromberg, Bo Limmer, and Brady Latham, you know, the heart of that offensive line. That's what's got to hold up. You know, those guys, you know, their physicality. We'll see. I mean, that's where I'll be watching tomorrow, the center and the two guard. That's kind of how I'll watch football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they getting whipped?
Yep.
And there's a chance they will get whipped because they're playing a man's team, this defensive line.
Yeah. Yep. Robert, I want to, again, appreciate your call this morning. So, leading up, and you talked about, with jokingly, not anything to talk about with sports being canceled for a period of time. I made sure through Clay, through Andy Hodges, and myself that I went diligently every single week to get some Razorback legends. As Clay brought up and as you brought up, Arkansas football, Arkansas basketball, it's not always – now, basketball not so much, but the football program has not been. I remember how important this program was to my grandfather. I remember how important this football program and then this athletics department was to the late, great Frank Broyles. I mean, to where it is now is an abject disgrace, and you hope that Sam Pittman can resurrect this sucker and do it quickly. Now, you're not going to see it in Game 1 against Georgia, I don't believe. It would be incredible if that happened. But the pain and misery and the suffering that you've gone through this last couple of years is not eternal. It's not eternal life. It's not eternal hell. It's not eternal. It's just a matter of getting this thing back on track. And it was important for me to get some of these legends on that we've had throughout the last couple of months, because to show you that not even 10 years ago, this program was in contention for the national championship. Now, the SEC Network and other college football people would make you believe that it's been 50 years since Arkansas has been relevant in this conference and in the college football landscape, but that is not the case. And you can get that historical context from Clay Henry. You can get that historical context from Tommy Kraft. You can get it from myself, even at 25 years old. And you can't get it from a Syracuse imbecile who doesn't know what he's talking about. So I promise this thing is going to get back on track. I don't know how many years. I can't pinpoint that exact location. I can't pinpoint that exact time in our history, in our future. This thing is going to get back on track. Mark it down, bet on it. I don't have a good exact number for you. It is not going to be eternal hell for the rest of your life. I promise.
No. And, you know, again, we appreciate the words. We've gotten several texts since Robert's call kind of echoing the sentiments. It's not been easy what we've done since mid-March. But, you know, with Ty's efforts leading the way and everybody pulling together, you know, I think we've done an admirable job of keeping, of reliving the past and keeping you entertained and keeping things positive. And now tomorrow, we kind of get the payoff. You know, we kind of get we get some sense of normalcy. And I think it will be emotional for a lot of us to at some different levels that we get a sense of normalcy, because the Razorbacks it symbolized normalcy for all of us on so many levels.
Great football weather. Glad you could be with us here on JP Sports. Here's Jones on a keeper. Out over the 40 to midfield. Matt Jones may take it to the house. And the dunk. That'll bring out some flags, but it is senior day.
Amen. Wow.
He's a basketball junkie.
Hey, this is Dave Neal with ESPN. You're listening to The Morning Rush.
Hour number three of The Morning Rush. Want to go to the phone lines and welcome in a guy that has been a part of my life since I was a young boy. It is Dave Neal of the SEC Network and ESPN. You can hear him on the call of Arkansas-Georgia tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Dave, thank you so much for making some time for us on The Morning Rush, man.
Hey, man, I'm glad we're talking some football. I mean, it's 24 hours away. I didn't think we'd get to this point, so glad to be a part of the show.
And I know you're really excited. I know you were telling us during the break that you are not in Fayetteville yet. You're currently on your way. Now, we heard the Matt Jones highlight clip that people just love hearing over and over again. You got to call his senior day game. Dave, what do you enjoy about making the trip to Fayetteville, Arkansas?
First of all, it's some of the most beautiful country that we have to offer. In the United States, it is it's something special. The people are great, but you know, the passion for football, and I get asked a lot about, hey, you know, certain teams, what do you expect? What do we need from them? You know, who's important to the league? And I think Arkansas is one of those teams. I think the league is better when Arkansas is better. I think it's better when the fans are engaged. I think it's just better when they compete and you think they have a chance to win. So you know, I hope that, you know, Sam Pittman's the right guy that can kind of get this this train headed in the right direction. You know, I spent quite a bit of time in Fayetteville last year following this team, and at no point, you know, really, I was there for the opener, as a matter of fact, and you walked away from the stadium scratching your head like, oh, boy, this is going to be a long year. Little did we know how long it would be. So, anyway, I just hope that there's some excitement. I know the crowd's going to be small. At least there will be a crowd. I've already done a couple of games, and not having anybody in the stands is a little different and unique. So it'll be nice to see some people in the building. But, I'm excited to get started.
Dave, you have a great historical context working for Raycom Sports, working for Jefferson Pilot Sports. You know that this Arkansas team has had success over the years. And we've taken call after call this morning wanting them to get back to that point. How, like, when you're talking about this with your colleagues, when you're talking about this with just different people across the SEC – about Arkansas, how much does it actually come up that Arkansas used to compete in this conference when it seems like a lifetime ago?
Well, it does seem like a long time ago. It really does. But there have been, you know, glimmers of hope, but there's never been any sustained success, really. You know, you had a little bit of run with Petrino, right? I mean, you had some excitement, but that whole thing blew up, as we all know and try to forget sometimes. But, you know, to have that sustained success, it's, you know, you got to really go back to the Houston Nutt run, the Felix Jones and the Darren McFadden's of the world. And I don't know why Arkansas can't get there. I really don't, because when you go around the league like I do, really around the country, and see some of these other facilities, Arkansas's got some of the best to offer. And it's such a great place to live. It's, the people are awesome. I just don't understand why they can't get the same kind of dudes as some other places. They get some of the dudes, but you got to have a bunch of dudes. I'm looking at this game, and I'm watching, looking at Georgia's recruiting classes the last couple of years. I mean, it is five-star after five-star after five-star. Arkansas has got a few five-stars scattered around, right? I mean, over the last few years. So that's where they got to make the jump. I mean, they got to find some way, somehow, to connect with these kids at an elite level to get them back to where they need to be. You can't just have a couple. You got to have, in this league, you got to have a bunch of these dudes, the four and the five stars, and there's just not enough on the roster right now for Arkansas.
Dave, seemingly this game tomorrow is a mismatch. Number four, Georgia, against an Arkansas team that's rebuilding in a transition phase with a new coaching staff. As you've looked at it, as you've studied these rosters, what does Arkansas need to do to keep this game close?
They need to pick off some passes, create some fumbles, return some kicks, fake punt it, all those things, right? That's all they got to do. Here's the thing. Georgia, sure, on paper is, I don't even know what the line is now, 27 maybe, something like that. It's been fluctuating all week. Right. But, it is a huge line. And I think what a win here for Arkansas is, let's get this thing into the fourth quarter and have it within a touchdown or two, and give ourselves an opportunity. I think you walk away from that situation feeling pretty good about where you are. And this is a tough deal. I mean, this whole COVID thing is a tough deal. It's just magnified the fact that you've got to start with Georgia, who has a chance to win a national championship, depending on that quarterback play turns out for them. But, Felipe Franks is a guy that's been around. He's played a lot of snaps in the SEC. He knows what this is all about. You got Rakeem Boyd. He's played a lot of snaps this week. He knows what this is all about. You got some of those young receivers that fortunately got a lot of snaps last year as well. Can the O-line hold up big enough, long enough against that big Georgia defense is the question offensively for them. And for Arkansas defensively, you just can't give up these big plays. You got to make Georgia earn it. As I said, just when you get late in the third quarter, give yourself an opportunity. You know what I mean? It's not like you need to be up by 7 or 14. Just give yourself a chance to make a play or two and walk away and feel good about yourselves after week one.
Have you done your pregame visit with Sam Pittman yet? I know all those are done by Zoom now rather than a day or two before the game. If you had a chance to do that yet?
We did that yesterday afternoon. Yeah.
What were your impressions with the new head coach?
I've known Sam for a while, but it's different as a head coach. It really is. Guys are so much looser when they're not the head coach. But Sam, to his credit, is the same dude he has always been. And it is it's a joy. I love his passion. He's got passion about his job. Don't get me wrong, but his passion about these kids, he just lights up when he starts talking about kids, and what they mean and the stories of guys having to overcome maybe something in their background or some injuries, or they've got a lot going on in their life, but yet they come to practice and they're focused and they get better every day. He loves telling you those stories. And I think that's one of the reasons the kids connect with him. Look, nobody really knows how Sam Pittman's going to be as a head coach. No, there is no outline for this in terms of how this is going to go. I do know this, that Barry Odom is one hell of a defensive coordinator, and he has so much respect around the league. That's a great hire. Kendall Briles, his offense, some call it gimmicky or whatnot, but it has worked wherever he's been. He turned Florida State's offense, I'm not going to say around, but he made substantial improvements from one year to the next at Florida State compared to where they were. So I think you got a shot. I just don't know if you have the pieces to fit that yet. But I do like what he has put together as a staff. And I just think Sam's a guy the kids are going to cling to and want to be around. And that's a big start in terms of getting them here to Fayetteville.
Dave Neal, SEC Network, ESPN with us on the Morning Rush. He'll be on call for the Georgia-Arkansas game tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Dave, when you've looked at this matchup, you've talked to Kirby, you've talked to Sam, what do you think is an undervalued matchup in this football game?
Oh, I think there's no doubt that Georgia's secondary is certainly talented, and I think wide receivers for Arkansas are untested for the most part. A couple of guys that jumped out at you a year ago, Trey Knox, Treylon Burks, are very talented SEC-type receivers, and Mike Woods proved that he can make some plays for you, but not a lot of people talk about that group. Here's the deal. As bad as Arkansas has been the last couple of years, people really haven't paid a whole lot of attention to them. So here's an opportunity, and it's just a tough one because you're playing 10 league games, but here's a chance for Arkansas to win a couple of games this year that maybe they're not supposed to win, that nobody gives them credit. And all it takes is a couple of those upsets, wherever it may be, right? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden people start looking at this and going, hey, maybe they're onto something at Arkansas. Maybe Sam Pittman is the kind of guy I want to go play for. So if these guys can make a few plays, get on some highlight reels, and there is a little bit of buzz about this program, then things start to turn a little bit. But back to your question, I think that's the one. Can Arkansas's wide receivers make a few plays on this Georgia secondary? That's so good.
Dave, like you, we got a chance to talk with Sam Pittman over Zoom yesterday, and he said there will be some players missing because of the coronavirus. Just with him and Kirby, what do you anticipate with Georgia and Arkansas's rosters looking like on Saturday with just COVID impacting them?
Well, I tell you this, Kirby has been ultra conservative when it comes to announcing that COVID stuff. The fact that we know that there's a few guys, and we'll find out more because I think there was some more testing going on. So what I got yesterday was when I get to Fayetteville here in a few hours, that I'll get more information about who is because who might be missing for Arkansas simply because they weren't completed with their test results as of yet. But listen, man, as far as Georgia goes, nobody has any idea who's missing. And I guess we'll find out when we look down there in warmups and see who's not in a uniform. But that's going to be a factor all year, guys. It's not just this game. I think COVID will eventually determine who wins this SEC, who can survive this season without having to sit some of their star players out. I just can't see how we get through this season without every team being impacted at some point. I'm not saying cancel games, but the roster being impacted through contact tracing, not just positive tests, but it's going to be a big issue on I think, of who wins this league. Yeah.
You're going to be in Fayetteville for this game. I assume there'll be some games this year you'll call remotely, which is one of the big changes with televising and broadcasting games this year. How does your schedule look as far as doing games remotely this year? Because as we've talked to other broadcasters, that's one adjustment guys in your spots have had to make this year.
Well, I kind of just shake my head a little bit because, you know, this is my 22nd, 23rd year of calling SEC football games. And it's already the most bizarre thing I've ever been a part of. This will be my fourth game, my third game. My fourth game next week will be Missouri at Tennessee. And of my first four games, will have all been done four different ways with four different producers. And next week will be my first time to do a game remotely. When I say remotely, from my office.
Wow.
They're setting up a whole studio for me on Tuesday in here with monitors and headsets. To say I'm nervous about it would be an understatement, guy. I mean, it's crazy that this is how we have to do things, but it is what it is, and I'll do whatever they want me to do so that we can have some football. But I'm very excited to get to Fayetteville. To be there in person, I think it's such a huge advantage in our jobs to be there and see things and you cannot see on a monitor. But it is what it is. And listen, I'm going to, there'll be some moments next week. If you're not busy, I think it's a noon kick. If you're not busy, you might want to dial that up because it could be entertaining in a lot of different ways next Saturday.
Everybody's hoping the internet stays. Everybody in this business just hopes the internet stays good while you're on the air because everything operates on the internet now. So if the fiber goes down, we are all in trouble. So, hey.
That is so true.
22 years around the league. Let's take a look around the league while we got you here and get some of your perspective. Obviously, Arkansas is entertaining tomorrow in their visitor, one of the best teams not only in the league but in the country. Alabama is also expected to be, as always, very good. Florida's expected to be in the mix with those other two teams. Who's that other team in the league that maybe will be the surprise this year, that will be the team that no one's really talking about at this point with a shortened 10-game schedule that could maybe make some noise in an unusual year?
Well, I'll say this. In this league, everybody talks about everybody. There is no team that you don't at least have in the conversation. But, to start the top for me, I know Florida came out last week. Was it yesterday or day before yesterday? The media poll came out, and Florida expected to win the SEC East. And listen, they are good. But I'm not convinced that Georgia's ready to give up that title just yet. And I think the questions are the quarterback position, obviously, for Georgia. But I think what they have to offer certainly are talented guys. But we'll find out. We'll see. But I'm not quite ready to give Florida.
Georgia's defense is still pretty strong. So.
Yeah, I mean, you probably got, of their 15 to 18 guys that will be in the main rotation, probably 8 to 10 of those guys will play in the NFL at some point. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's not give Florida that crown just yet. But Florida's good. Do not get me wrong. I understand that they are a viable option, but I'm certainly not ready to hand that over to them. I think a team that I'm anxious to see, and I don't know how this is going to play out just because the way they finished last year, the new coaching change, but it's Missouri with Eli Drinkwitz, who at App State in 1 year, really did a great job. And I know it necessarily wasn't his team, so to speak. Scott Satterfield, he's at Louisville now. But Missouri, to me, is that team. I just don't know what they're going to be, what they're going to look like. You just don't know anything about them. And the other team that I'm anxious to see play is LSU, just because of how good they were last year. Can they stay at a level? Not, you know, I don't think anybody will ever get in my lifetime the level LSU was last year. Fortunate to have them a couple times and watch that in person, and it was almost surreal at times. But can this is Ed Orgeron right now, man, he's living the dream, right? I mean, he's the savior saint down there in the Bayou. But now's a chance to see what he can really do as a head coach and get these guys ready to play. So that's my other big question in terms of what to watch for in this league, other than the obvious storyline.
Dave, we had your colleague Sean McDonough on last Monday, and he told us that he's basically cornered in his hotel room, not doing anything prior to games. So before I let you go, are you going to get a chance to go to your favorite restaurant in Fayetteville, or are you pretty much just going to be in the hotel tonight and cornered in until the game tomorrow?
Look, I mean, you know, I guess I could sneak out, but I don't think that, you know. But ESPN, is, I mean, they are, you know, it's a Disney company, and Disney's company guidelines are pretty strict, and they ask a lot of us if we're going to be on the road to follow certain protocols and do things as carefully as we can. And unfortunately, you know, I'll probably be stuck in the hotel. And, you know, it's just, you know, I love going down into Fayetteville and you know, and seeing the people on game days and game weekends, but it's just a different deal. I mean, it really is. And so, you know, I'm going to be as careful as possible, which probably means I'll just have to suck it up at least this trip and maybe a few more before I start venturing out into the world. But listen, I'm just glad they let me go. I mean, next week I can't go. So this week I'm going to enjoy the process of just going and being at a game.
He's been a part of your life for 20-something years. Dave Neal of the SEC Network and ESPN, formerly of Raycom Sports and Jefferson Pilot Sports. Dave, thanks so much for your time this morning. Best of luck in the game tomorrow at 3 o'clock, and hopefully it's not a blowout. It's a tight one, so you can have a fun time calling it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that, and thanks for having me on. You guys have a great weekend, and Ben, am I just glad we have some football. Yeah. So you guys enjoy.
All right, and good luck with that internet next week.
That's probably the most important thing you've said all day.
I'm telling you, we're all living and dying by the internet in our homes and our businesses.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it,
Dave. Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer. 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.